Welcome to the Founders Odyssey podcast. The journey of a founder is unlike any other. The chips are seemingly stacked against you as an entrepreneur, but the burning desire to revolutionize the world and leave a lasting impact is stronger now than ever with many founders. Our podcast looks to inspire the next generation of entrepreneurs to pursue their next great idea, educate them on how to make this impossibility a reality, and create a supportive group of entrepreneurs who are there for their fellow founders. Our podcast features only the highest performing entrepreneurs who have bootstrapped, raised funds, built companies, sold companies, and have experienced life-altering challenges and some significant triumphs. Join us on this journey with the Founders Odyssey podcast and listen in on this upcoming episode. Welcome to the Founders Odyssey podcast, where we create an environment for founders to thrive through education, inspiration, and a supportive community. My name is Nathan Bird, and I will be your host today. Today, our special guest is one who leads by example, hard work, and a servant-first attitude. His dedication to helping facilitate opportunities for multitudes of underserved markets is his mission, and in doing so, has led him to start an innovative gig-based technology platform called Dree. Dree is quickly becoming a go-to platform for individuals needing their laundry completed through a quick and easy process of crowdsourcing talent from local families who want to make extra money. This platform has quickly caught on and is providing many people with additional sources of income. Please welcome to the show our esteemed guest, Edgar Carrion.
Hey, thank you. That was really nice.
Absolutely, man. We love bringing out our founders' best attributes and really creating that good environment for what we have here. So let's talk a little bit about what the definition of entrepreneurship and what does it mean to you?
Wow. You're hitting me hard with the first question. I guess going off of textbook, for me, entrepreneurship is the ability to chase adventures that excite you, the freedom to do that.
Yeah, and that's so interesting. You know, everybody I'll ask that to, they have a similar but yet different response to that, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
because we're all on different journeys and we have different, you know what I mean, and some people come from low income or a wealthy background, so they, you know, everybody's got a different perspective. So let's dive into, like I said, just a little bit of the past, and let's peel back the onion, because a lot of people, they think, okay, Edgar, he's the CEO of Dree, but what is behind Edgar? And share with us just a bit about your story, some adversities that you face, and how you've come out of that to be the person you are today.
I've had a really good life. I consider myself fairly lucky in that. So it's really difficult for me to identify a lot of the hardships, but I know one that's been defining in my life was coming to the US when I was 10 years old. That was really defining because it was taking us out of our you know, comfort, out of like the people we knew, the streets we knew, the language we knew, the system we understood. And literally from one day to another, being planted in a totally foreign environment, not knowing the language, not knowing the culture, losing your parents fairly early to work because they had to work long hours. I would say that was one of my most defining experiences. And it was a long time ago, you know? But the reason I say it's been so defining is because today, 28 years later, it still fuels a lot of what I do. Years later, when I was 22, I opened up my first business. I opened up a restaurant. And as you can imagine, restaurants are incredibly difficult. I ended up with 8 restaurants and spent about 15, 16 years since in that industry. Restaurants, coffee shop, coffee company, et cetera. And so I don't want to dive into the you know, too much into the restaurants, but what they say is true. They're some of the toughest it's one of the toughest industries. Very small percentage of restaurants live past 5 years. I was really lucky that my shortest location was 4 years, and then I sold it, and then the rest were 7 years, etc. And I had a very successful journey there. There are a lot of challenges along the way, but it's really hard for me to say that. It's almost like you were being refined and it was chipping away at you, you know, like just kind of giving you shape, and you don't feel that deep pain, but it is happening as you go, I guess is the best description that I can give for that experience.
There's a few topics that you've hit on that I think our audience would resonate with. And as we're all founders here, and we understand that, you know, you're going to go through adversity, but how do you bounce back? And share with us just a little bit, you know, maybe one or two scenarios that you went through in that situation with your restaurants that really challenged you as a person. Because, you know, of course we have business challenges, but it really comes down to who we are and how our character is shaped through that process. So share with us how your character was shaped by some of those adverse situations.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go, I opened up a restaurant in the Seattle area, I think it was around 2010. And I was so proud of what I'd put together. And then we launched and it was doing well. And somebody had approached me and said they wanted to purchase this this location. And once I heard that, I got really comfortable. You know, I was like, okay, we've got it made. We have a date of when this acquisition is going to happen. And these folks that were going to acquire the restaurant stepped in. I let them step in and start making changes before the transaction was finalized so that they were in place by the time all the docs were signed. Well, in that, those few months, the business just started tanking, and about 80%+ of our revenue just tanked. And so when we got closer to signing these documents, they came to me and they said, well, the business isn't today what it was when we had our conversation, so we're going to change our offer. And you know, the change was super significant, and at that moment I felt like I dropped my guard, and I felt like they were aware that that was going to happen and it was going to be to their advantage because they saw the potential in what we built. And so I made the decision then to not make that sale. And as a result, I had to reinvent who we were. And it was really difficult because, you know, you're kind of in a situation where you're like, well, you know, we were doing, you know, 1.2 a year in revenue, but we can get it back. I mean, we're doing 300K a year right now. We can bring it back up. We know how to do it, et cetera. And you're just afraid of changing because you're like, well, I can change and lose the 300K in revenue, appear totally, or I can change and we might make it back there, back to where we were. And it was really difficult to make that decision, but I did. I hired a new chef, changed our restaurant, changed our brand. And it turns out that it was the best thing I ever did. I remember on day one, when we launched our new menu, new team, new menu, new whole thing. Our first customer came in and he was a longtime customer. And he said to me, you know, I don't like what you did. I won't be coming back. I don't know why you changed it. And it was almost like that fear that I had that I would lose it all was like the first customer manifested to me. Right, you're going to lose it all. And I remember thinking, well, I knew this was the right thing before. I should feel the same today, regardless of what this guy is saying. So I said to him, you know, I'm really bummed out to hear that, but there are just not enough people like you. And so I have to go and chase the bigger crowd. And I'm going to stick to this because I think this is the right thing. And it turns out that after that, we were nominated for Seattle's Top 10 Best Mexican Restaurants. We were featured in Sunset Magazine, which is a national magazine, as one of the must visit places in the state of Washington. Startup of the Year. I mean, we just were getting all these awards. And the reason I use that, I share that experience is because when I exited the restaurant industry after over a decade, I had to do the same thing for myself because I didn't want to be the restaurant guy the rest of my life. In fact, I exited the industry because I wanted to be challenged with new things. I wanted to prove to myself that I was good at more than just that. And it was literally a replica of what I did for those restaurants that I did for myself, of saying, yes, you might fail at everything you do going forward, but you also might succeed. And it was this feeling that I would succeed that I had prior that I still, you know, that still lives in me today. And that's what has fueled the change that I've done from that to what I do today with Dree.
Experiences that we all go through will continually propel us forward in what we do presently. And I'm glad that you've taken that time to understand, to process. And it's through that sense of understanding through reflection and then a course correction, and then also understanding that you can make change in your life. A lot of people, they feel as if they're stagnant. And I'm sure that you have felt that before in life, and those out there probably have as well. But there's always room for change. There's always room for transformation, and it can happen today. Yeah. So presently, let's talk about today and how you are focused, excited, driven to build this company of Dree based on your past, based on all these failures and, you know, insecurities that you've had, and you have built yourself to be in this position, really, to lead an organization, to build a team, and to press forward through adversity. So share with us a little bit about your present and how you're moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, to kind of bring up, my past experience was heavily driven by operations, people management, and I was able to, because of the number of locations we had, the number of employees we had, I was able to see when work was difficult for certain individuals because of the needs or the responsibilities they had in the home. And so a lot of the times their strong desire to have a job or to participate in some form or fashion was, it was X'd out by the things that were more important that they had to tend to in the home. And that, you know, coupled with a lot of other experiences, do really drive a lot of what I do today in building at-home work opportunities for people that have been left out. Even though the gig economy is very friendly and 46% of gig workers are women, there's a huge group that has been left out because gig requires you to be out of the home for long periods of time. You're not going to see a mom driving an Uber with kids in the back. You're not going to see a mom driving a DoorDash back and forth for 4 to 5 hours with the kids in the back, et cetera. And you're not going to see it as frequently. There might be some that are attempting to do it, but it's just, though it's intended to be easy access, it's still very difficult for certain groups. And so as we've built Dree, it's been around that. It's been around thinking about my mom when we came to the States, about me as a kid, and how if she had been home, it would have dramatically changed our experience coming to this country. And so it's just looking at those scenarios that I've seen in my past and saying, how can we build this company in a way that provides opportunities for people that have been left out. And so that's what we're doing.
Yeah, I like what you're doing. Continue. I know you were keeping going.
No, I was just, you know, I mean, it's to both sides of the marketplace. There's also another side where my past experience, some of the people in management or in leadership positions where they had so much going on, that they didn't want to give up that opportunity to grow their career, and as a result felt overwhelmed in the home. And so building DRE as a resource for both sides of the marketplace, that both parties win, that there are people that are looking to outsource it because they want to focus on what matters most to them. They outsource their laundry so they can do that. Well, on the other side of the marketplace, people that do accept these jobs are able to focus on what matters most to them through that resource. And so it's about that. That is really like, that's the magic of what we do, is taking this one thing and turning it into a resource for both sides of the marketplace.
Yeah, dual-sided marketplace. I mean, it's a very innovative piece of technology, but also a service that you're providing as well. Yeah. By leveraging people that, like you were saying, are underserved or would want to make extra money. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, it's so important in a time like this, within the nation, really, for mm-hmm. providing various opportunities for creators, for, like you said, yeah. people that are more gig-based and they want to work mm-hmm. on their time whenever, mm-hmm. you know, however they like. And I think that's really important. So you said a few things. You got understanding your user. So understanding the personality or the persona of those who you're wanting to serve. And I think that was something you said regarding your family, your mother. Mm-hmm. So that was something that I know everyone would want to hear out there, making sure that you identify who your users are, create that personal connection as well through your own maybe personal story that's going to propel mm-hmm. you forward and propel your why mm-hmm. to push through, but also yeah. to, you know, use that same passion that you have to continue on your journey. That's what it sounds like you've done. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, in a very dramatic way, I feel like that persona that you're mentioning is, it has to become your God in your everyday, you know, thought process. The way you make decisions has really serious impacts. You know, today, for example, with the increase in literally everything you consume, we look at that and we think about that individual and we say, well, what can we do to participate in supporting them through this? And the reason I say they have to become your God is because the mindset is that you serve God, and so then you serve that persona. You know, you really do think of them like, how can I serve them? What can I do? What can we do as a company to support them through this? You know, obviously it has benefits to both of us as a company because it allows us to grow. But I think it's about sticking to our promise of making this a true resource for people.
Yeah. Share with us a little bit more on that service mentality and that attitude that you have and how that's really served you, but also how you're starting to uncover and just look for ways, because you have to be observant within business and you've got to make pivots, which you have mm-hmm. made multiple mm-hmm. times in your career. So let's talk mm-hmm. a little bit about how you're really looking and being intentional about serving others.
Well, you know, in business, there are a lot of shiny things, right? You can do anything. I mean, you can really do anything. You know, we've built a platform that's fairly agnostic. So we could be doing lawn care. We could be doing home cleaning. We could be doing dishes. We could be doing car cleaning or detailing. I mean, we could do anything. Our platform would work for just about anything. It's so agnostic that you could plug, instead of laundry, you could plug a chiropractor or a massage therapist. You can plug all that in. It's agnostic. So there are a lot of shiny objects, right, when you're building a company. And the reason why it's, for me, it's so important to, at the core, know who God is to your company, is that when you make decisions, you have that person in mind. But to go a layer deeper, for me personally, I've always believed that you can't build a product without the individual's voice at the table, not in your brain, not in a report, not in a data report, but literally at the table. And so when we look at what we do, we recognize very early that 8 out of 10 times that laundry is done in the home, it's done by women. And so we said, look, this is going to be a service that's built for women. And we can't build for them without having them at the table. So currently, our team, contractors and partners, anybody that puts their hands on what we're building at Dream, it is above 75% of them are women. And we have them at the table. Our co-founder, Natalie Paul, Tony and I, when my co-founder, when we made the decision to really get this off the ground, we said, you know, we've got to bring on a female co-founder. Even if it's late in the game, we have to do this because we're building for them and they need a seat at our table. And so I think, like, I've gone really deep into that, you know, where recognizing who our God is and then bringing that individual to the table so that we can build a product that really reflects their voice. That helps us not get distracted. That helps us very clearly know, you know, should we do lawn care just because we can do it? No, the answer is no, right? It very clearly is no. Car detailing, no. It's very clearly a no, because we know who that individual is. And there are even things that are even closer, you know, should we be putting your laundry away for you? That's really close to what we do. Well, that should be answered not by us. That should be answered by that God that we serve.
The customer.
So.
No, I like that. That's a good way to put it. You've said a few things here too. And I want everyone to get that if they haven't here. And that's in regards to making sacrifices for the long-term goal of the company. And, you know, maybe it wasn't a sacrifice actually to bring on a female founder, but what I'm saying is you had to look at a strategic placement for a long-term growth strategy. So that's number one. And then number two, what I've got is you are so laser focused on this niche market that you have shut out other opportunities that you feel that are distracting you from maintaining and continuing to keep that culture and the goal that you've set before yourself. And there's a lot of, I mean, myself included, and I guarantee a lot of the other founders that are listening to this have had those moments where they look around and just because you're fully capable doesn't mean it's necessarily meeting your long-term vision and goal, which I'm hearing from you and I've heard from so many other founders on this show. So, I mean,
I mean, I'll just right off the bat, I'll tell you that bringing on a female co-founder was absolutely not a sacrifice. I felt that they were making a sacrifice instead by joining us, our team. Obviously, I believe in the opportunity, but it was more meaningful to us to have her at the table than anything else. And, you know, I'm sure you've heard this before, but it's harder to say no than it is to say yes to a lot of these shiny objects, because especially when you're addicted to this, you think you can do just about anything, you know, it just feels like low hanging fruit. And so you know, again, I go back to the core, and the core is that individual. That makes it a lot easier to say no, you know. As much as it pulls at you as an entrepreneur to want to fix a thing that you see needs fixing. So,
well, and I'd say you're doing just a wonderful job and just making sure that you're focused in. And as we know, focus, commitment, dedication, just continual, you know, grind to that very specific purpose and goal driven by your understanding of the person that you serve and your personal story. You know, we have uncovered a little bit more of Edgar today, which I'm excited about, you know, and getting to know you a little bit better. So let's talk about the future and what the future holds for you personally, as well as for Dree. We're, you know, of course, into here Q2 2022. So share with us about the future. what you can expect, what you're predicting for Dree.
Dree is going to be the first national brand to offer this service. You'll be able to live in Salt Lake City, Utah, travel to Miami, Florida, and you'll have the same experience. You won't ever have to come back with dirty laundry from your vacation. You won't ever have to worry about that extra bag that you got to travel with. We intend to bring this to every city across the country. We think that there's a huge opportunity there. There are currently, as of today, 38.4 billion loads of laundry done in the U.S. The average household spends over 500 hours a year on laundry. It's more cost effective to sign up for Dree than it is for you to do your own laundry. So we see this in every household across the country.
So share with us a little bit more on that. You know, your expansion plan, what cities you feel you're going to hit first, what your current, how well you're doing now in the current state, and share with us a little bit more about that excitement.
Yeah, no, things are going great. Our business is growing. From November to the end of March, we doubled our business. I mean, we're bringing on people on both sides of the marketplace every day. We are, we recently brought on a head of growth. And so you'll see this pop up in different cities across the country. Our model as of today is very plug and play, and we're ready to go. So you'll see a lot of activity. There's no, our go-to-market strategy is so clear. There's no, as of today, we don't see a barrier that would hold us back from getting into every state.
Okay. As far as for the next 3 months, do you have any predictions as far as what cities or states you want
to see yourself? We are going through some of the details, tax implications, permits, licensing, and whatnot. Okay. But we do have some cities currently that we're going to be getting ready to announce. So okay. we're awesome. Pretty excited. Well, it's very 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 near.
Yeah, I know you're excited just as much as I am, and of course you don't want to share exactly where we're happening here. And but that's, you know, for those out there that are listening, just continue to watch out for Dree and the multitudes of cities.
We're coming.
They're coming. They got the head of growth ready to roll, and you know, the future is bright. So we're about wrapping up here, but what is one thing that you would share with your younger self about entrepreneurship, about just business in general, and about just being a better person? So what's one thing that you would share with yourself in the past?
Well, can yesterday be the past?
Sure. Your younger self.
I think I, over the last over decade and a half, I've been it's hard for me to say it, but I've really fallen in love with what I do and the adventure of building. And I think that it's kind of put me in a place where I'm willing to sacrifice it all. But I think it sometimes feels like there are people that pay that price, not by choice. And I mean, by that, I mean, like my wife, we've had an incredible relationship, but I think oftentimes I do feel not, people ask me if I feel dad guilt, and I don't feel any of it, but I definitely feel husband guilt, because I want to be here building this so bad, you know, and that mentally, it's really difficult to balance. And so I guess if I was telling myself this morning, full transparency, I said to myself, well, you got to wake up even earlier and you've got to stop working late. If you want extra hours, wake up a lot earlier, but stop sacrificing the things that matter most, because that's what I'm preaching as a company. And that's my mission with Dree, is to help people focus on what matters most. And it's because I'm so in love with what we're doing. It's really difficult for me to create those boundaries. I don't want to create them, but I know I need to.
Yeah.
Well, super vulnerable moment there, but
it's no, the truth. It's, and that's fine, because look, that's what life's about. It is about vulnerability. It is about, you know, see, because on this Founder's Odyssey, there's a lot that comes up. I mean, there's family issues, there are business partnerships, there are stressful situations in raising money, losing money, deals falling through. There are so many things that happen. It can take us down paths that we never thought we would go on. And that's where coming back to that true north and understanding what is truly important in life can reset us, refocus us, and continue to help us drive forward and really become a better person, which therefore becomes a better leader for your organization and for the people that you want to serve. So, you know, I see that your passion is shining through, the balance that you are implementing into your life, and the way that you continually preach to others is allowing you to internally look to who you are, who you ultimately want to become. And it's a process. So everyone out there, this is a process. Don't think that you'll have everything made right away and you can't climb a mountain, but only one step at a time. So, you know, what Edgar here is saying is fall in love with the process. Understand that it's a daily thing, but also continually put what is important in front of you every day.
That's exactly it. Focus on what matters most.
Yeah, that's great. Well, hey man, it's been a wonderful time getting to know you a little bit better, Edgar, getting to know about Dree, your past, present, and future. And we're excited here as a group, as a network. How can they find you for number one? And then how can they refer somebody to be able to work on the platform?
Yeah. Awesome. Well, really easy. Dree.com. Dree.com. And you'll be able to sign up there for our laundry service, or you'll be able to click really easily and sign up to work with Dree. That's super, super simple.
And they say simplicity is scalable. And it sounds like you've got that down for sure.
Yes. Yes.
Well, hey, everybody out there. This is, once again, the Founders Odyssey podcast, where we look to educate and inspire and create a supportive community for our fellow founders out there that are creating innovative products in the world today. My name is Nathan Bird. And if you've liked today's episode, feel free to subscribe and also share with your friends. Thank you, Edgar, for today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I love the questions, and I can tell you that I enjoyed it because I was able to share some very personal feelings and experiences. And so I appreciate the opportunity. I think this is a great resource, awesome. You know, for founders out there.
That's what life is about. Thank you, everybody.